Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Shannon Feltus.
I'm Bonnie Dutch.
And this is
You Are That.
We are two sisters who cannot take a compliment.
Nope.
Today's guest is a talented podcast host, also a TV correspondent, and best-selling author. Melissa Moore is with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. I could not be more excited. I'm in awe of your strength and awesomeness from the first Happy Face podcast, but now you've come a long way and done a lot of things. Do you want to tell the folks a little about yourself?
Sure. Let's see where to start.
Right?
I'll start with this. I had a massive secret. I had a huge secret. My secret was that my father was a Happy Face serial killer. And it was something that I ran away from up until 2008, when I was now a mom and I had two kids. My daughter came home from school and she was doing a family tree. And she wrote down, you know, mommy, daddy, and then she wrote, you know, her grandparents that she knew of, and then Grandma Rose, but she couldn't figure out who her grandfather was. Mm-hmm. She asked me, you know, mom, you know, everybody has a daddy. Where's your daddy? And then I answered her in the most honest way I knew how, which is he's in Salem, which is true. Mm-hmm. I lives in Salem. And thankfully, she was happy with that answer. And then we moved on. And then, but I dwelt on it because how do you tell your kids that you have a serial killer as a grandpa? And right. I hadn't even told, you know, friends that I had a serial killer as a dad. So I started on this quest that led to this remarkable and incredible, crazy adventure into making daytime talk shows and true crime podcasts. And so that's the short story.
You have not only written books about this, you are a crime correspondent about your life story and other people's. And people can catch up and hear your account of everything on the Happy Face podcast. That was seriously riveting. Your strength and just the evolution of you through that whole series, I admire you so much. That's when I became a super fan.
Thank you. I appreciate connecting with you. I think one of the beautiful things that I never, ever thought was going to happen out of doing the Happy Face podcast was that I would connect with people like you. Before that, I would tell my story on Oprah, or I would tell my story to People magazine, and you just put it out there. You share this story and you hope that other people who need to hear it, like other survivors, will hear it and maybe relate to something you share. But what surprised me about the podcast is that people who didn't even have, you know, a tremendous amount of trauma or anything, just generally, I got to connect with amazing people that just supported me. I've never had this level of support before. So it feels so good to be, I don't know, I guess cared for. I guess that's the best way to say it.
You kind of
took the reins, control your own narrative, and see the good people rise to the surface and kind of just be there for you in a really genuine way.
Yeah. And that was the best gift ever. And it actually emboldened me to make some different moves in my career that I probably would have never made, which we'll get into later. But
cannot wait to hear all of it.
This really was the catalyst to jumping off this new season of my life. And so I'm excited to chat with you ladies.
You're seriously great at everything you've stepped into. I cannot wait to hear what's happening. We are going to jump into nostalgic questions, and this might be a little Pacific Northwest centric.
I'm nervous that I'm not a true Pacific Northwestern, that I'm not going to like know the answers.
Your experiences up okay. here. Mm-hmm. You are totally Washington counts, all parts of Washington count.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah. Pacific totally. Northwest is.
Oh, yeah.
We give like a general nod to Idaho, but we're, like,
not we think right. about it.
Yeah. We think, we whisper like potato on the wind, but it's like Washington and Oregon.
Right. Let's say it's summertime, it's in the 80s. You hear the ice cream truck coming.
Ooh, snap.
What are your top favorites that you would get if it's on their list?
Oh, I like the chocolate dipped cone.
Nice.
With the waffle cone, you know, the chocolate dipped with the like middle. The drumstick. Yeah, the drumsticks. Yeah, yes. With the fuzzy middle. Yeah.
That's they like have the perfect one. So many kinds of those now.
Did you try them all?
I went online, then I went down a path of drumsticks, and I found these freaking lemon cream ones that have, they're like a dilly bar on the outside from Dairy what? Queen, like the waxy top.
Yeah.
No nuts or anything, just smooth, but it's like lemon dipped cone with a lemon and cream half and half ice cream, and then a lemon core, and then white chocolate in the little bottom of the tip.
For other people, a dilly bar is from Dairy Queen, and it's a weird chocolatey candy covered dip on
it
a cold
It looks like
cone.
A big old like chocolate chip on its side. Oh, it's got ice
so
cream inside.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, with that curly cue on
the yes. Yeah. Yeah. I used to get the Classic. Cherry ones after Fucking softball. Dairy
Queen. Butterscotch are the best.
And it's like they're waxy, but mm-hmm. in a good way.
Yeah. It's not chocolate, but it's not
Yeah.
Candy.
It's like a wax you crave. And if you bite it wrong, it's the wax that really just melts quickly into whatever you're wearing.
Yeah.
It pops off like shrapnel.
Oh my, they had orange creamsicle ones. Yes. For a limited time. And I drove into that parking lot real fast. And I didn't have a child in the car. There wasn't a reason.
We should
for
all
it.
Be having popsicles I like know. Upside down in a glass of
champagne.
Sparkling champagne. Yeah. Something
I do like,
sparkly.
I do like a good popsicle.
I need to see these pictures on your Instagram.
I do have one. I have a Prosecco and popsicle one.
Oh my gosh. I need the visuals.
It's like something I would have made when I was like 16 and sneaking booze, like pink champagne and like yeah. a twin pop.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, a I'm super fancy because this one's made of real fruit. Oh now I'm a classy lady.
I did find Choco Tacos at the grocery store the other day, and I definitely
those
yeah
those are our oh, ice cream staple or so. Once in a blue moon whatever character it was probably like back in our day was
Pink Panther
Pluto
Pink
yeah
Panther
Pink
with
Panther.
The bubblegum eyeballs
I would love eating those with the bubblegum eyeballs why and I don't so know good? Why I love them so much. The gum ran out of flavor in 2 seconds. It was right. always hard. It always
hard
cracked open. Wasn't good.
It's a nostalgia though.
Yeah. It's like a good bad.
Kids
or candy sees. Cigarettes because I was so bad.
Oh, the worst are the candy necklaces because you wear them and then they like get sugary, like melt on your skin.
Old rainbow neck over there just chomping away. You got half a string.
If you don't eat it, if you're the kid that saves it, then yeah. you have sticky neck.
Then you have sticky neck. Or if you're the chubby kid like me in the group, everyone else is still rocking their necklace halfway through the day and you're like,
I got three two bits. Left.
I ate them all because I thought that's what we were supposed to do. Also, I snapped myself in the face on accident like 14 times. Or pro tip, children of the world, learn this. Wear the necklace, put one in your mouth and pull the string taunt and pull the string back like against towards your ears
Jesus.
And just bite it and it
She's
will slingshot the
no.
other half of your candy at your enemy.
You weaponized a candy necklace.
Yeah. You okay. also sharpen those push pops right into
oh
a point.
God.
You got a shiv in your purse,
Jesus
kids.
Christ.
This is what we learn.
Wow. Food fun with Bonnie. Oh my God.
I could be saving lives today.
See, no child will get kidnapped if they have a push shiv. Pop shiv in their pop pocket.
Jesus Christ. Sometimes
this is who we are. Oh, my face hurts already. This is good times. Okay.
My teeth hurt. already.
Well, I'm curious to know, growing up in Spokane, what kind of summertime activities were you into? Did you do summer camp? Ooh. Did you guys have like outdoor space where you just ran around like crazy? What was your favorite summery thing?
So when my father was arrested, we grew up really poor in Felony Flats. And so the highlight of summer was when the public pools would open.
Us too. Us too. No, seriously. We were poor too, so we get
it. Yeah, so then you go to the pool and sometimes you see like floating pads.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's always a diaper in there.
Yes. And then yeah. I remember there's always something floating in the water.
You're not wrong.
And then I would stare at the lifeguard, the hot lifeguard. Yeah. And then I would try to find, you know, as you wade in the public pool, you try to find an opening.
Uh huh.
And then people would bump into you. You couldn't really swim. You just waded in the water.
Mm-hmm. Kids cannonball around you, or there's not room.
Yes. And then people playing Marco Polo around you. And you're like, I just want to get a, you know, a hot girl tan.
A couple years ago, I drove past the one that Shannon and I took swim lessons at in our little neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I drove past it and I just saw like a sea of like wild children.
Bobbing
head to head, just tons of heads. And like a kid just ran, just landed on people. And I'm at the light and the light turned green. I was like, I'm so happy to drive away from this moment because I used to be in the kid's soup. Yeah.
The kid's soup.
Yeah. Kid's soup. Yeah.
Public for $5 a kid. Our parents just didn't have to look at us for a few hours. Like,
Mom, can you just give me quarters? I think for me, it was
It was a dollar, and I would go digging through my mom's purse for like the quarters and the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wish you had enough because the money, if you had extra money, the ice cream truck would come to the pool.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. And so as you would leave the pool, there'd be a huge line at the ice cream truck.
There's a vending machine.
Slush puppies. Oh, yeah. Do you remember slush puppy vendor and like popcorn?
The line was so long for that. There was free popcorn, which is really smart.
Yeah. And then slush puppies that were like those little beaded ices.
Oh, yeah. $2, which now seems extreme for this, but they had frozen Snickers. And I was like, yes.
Well, don't forget, you also need to save some money for your locker unless you want to be selling everything out in the pool area. Oh
my God. You just think about those safety pins. Everybody just had safety pins just pinned to their bathing suit. Those big chonky ones.
And then where do you pin it where you don't look like a tool? Mm-hmm. Like, you look like you're wearing a diaper pin.
That's what they were.
Locker 241.
Right? Okay. I've got to know, would you like to share a family vacation story that might make folks want to choose a staycation instead? I got to know.
Okay, so my mom, like I said, we grew up really poor. So my mom saved her tax refunds. She saved all of her money for us to take this trip to Disneyland, but she only had enough for us to drive there. And she had this station wagon. And in the station wagon, the ceiling of the station wagon, the fabric was
hanging like, down.
Hanging down.
Yes,
and
the
so
bubble.
It would hit our head all the time. So we made this drive from Spokane to LA. And along the way, we would stay at KOAs to reduce costs.
Like the camping sites, like RV sites.
Yeah, the camping sites. So our station wagon was full of like, we probably look like
you lived in the car.
Yeah, we looked like we lived in the car because grandma was in there too. Like, my mom brought her mom. We had a whole bunch of kids in there and all of these sleeping bags and all this gear. And we're just going to KOAs and stopping along the way. And then we went to Disneyland, and my youngest half brother just like filled up all day in 100 degrees at Disneyland on Coca-Cola. And so we just drank Coke the whole time. And so when we left, he's getting motion sick and he just threw up on all of the sleeping bags, on all of the gear. And so it was so bad. But I do remember one of my favorite memories of that trip is that my cousin came with me and we sat in the back of the station wagon and do you remember Magna Doodle?
Yes.
Okay. So she had a Magna Doodle and we wrote in the Magna Doodle, honk if you like girls. And we put it in the back and my mom is like riddled with anxiety. She's a school driver, hates freeway driving. And all of a sudden she's just being blasted with horns and just terrified. She's going like 10 miles an hour on the freeway, in San Francisco. And we're just like, honk if you like girls on a Magna Doodle.
And your mom's like, what is happening?
Yeah, why is everybody honking at me?
I love that people probably even noted it was kids riding, but they're like, but I like girls. I gotta lay on my horn.
Yeah.
Honk.
Yeah. I don't even know why we did that, but I thought it was fun. And
that's so much nicer than anything we would have written because we were rotten. That would have been real sketchy. Suck fart. Draw a middle finger so that we're technically not flipping people off. We would have done something real crafty. What? Oh, I love that. Okay, but how long did that car smell like barf?
Yeah.
Real talk. Oh my gosh, forever. Forever. Oh. But the worst part was that ceiling. Like, that ceiling was so bad. So it smelled like barf and that ceiling.
I love that. You're avoiding the barf, but then you're, like, scraping your face on just, like, old fabric.
That bubble ceiling.
It was so bad. It was so bad.
One of our cars growing up had that in the back half. A sweet light brown sedan, as per the 80s. And it had, like, a strip with the dome light in the middle. So the back half was the bubble. And I would poke it, and they'd be like, stop touching the ceiling. Like,
stop fucking with it.
Try to put stuff in there. I don't know.
Treasure pocket.
Yeah, there's probably coins in it somewhere. Gross. Right? Why not?
I love it. I love that back in our day, people drove it until it died.
Yes.
And just traded in for a classy new model.
Crazy.
Yeah, we literally like broke the fucking door handles off and those stupid little locks. We just fucking learned how,
right?
Ingenuity, yeah. Kids.
Good old 80s.
Disney, man. I'm gonna take us to high school.
Ooh, okay.
And I wanna know, if you found a mixtape from high school, what jams would be on that delicious, delicious mix?
Oh my gosh. It'd be Red Red Wine.
Oh, she's already got it queued up. She's like, I listened to it yesterday.
I listened to the Cranberries a lot. I love the Cranberries because I think they just understood my angst, you know? And then I listened to Hole. Mm-hmm. I loved Courtney Love and Malibu. And I loved her. I think I was just in a grunge phase.
Yeah. Did you ever listen to Veruca Salt?
Oh.
Volcano Girls.
You know what? You're probably more legit. I didn't.
Volcano Girls is so... I feel like if I sent you the song, you'd be like, oh, I've heard it. Because it's on like the soundtrack for Jawbreaker.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on like all those really classic super 90s into the 2000s when chicks would just power walk in a group in a line.
Like in The Craft?
Yeah.
I probably know it then, but...
I'm so embarrassed by some of my mixtapes because...
Really?
Well, yeah. I was 100% like radio DJ Bon back in the day. We would call into radio stations all the time and request songs so we could record them. But I went from liking like Keith Sweat and Tupac in like eighth grade. And then I like grew into like real heavy on Matchbox 20 for a while. And then like Chumbawamba. And then I went to like Irish girl bands. I don't know what I was. There was a lot.
You had a journey.
It was strange. And then you live in a small town and you just like have to listen to 90s country, which is fantastic. Oh, yes. It was like Dina Carter.
Strawberry Wine
was our high school era's anthem for like
school dances. Everyone's
teen
just
angst.
Rocking on 2 feet.
I actually did get Strawberry Wine my first year of college and I drank it to that song and like cried about a boy. And I was like, this is what this song was meant for. I just need to be in a field somewhere.
This is so crazy that we're talking about it. I didn't even think about this until now. I told you that I reconnected with an old boyfriend that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was in college, I used to hear Strawberry Wine and would think about him because, you know, you're first. And, and now, like, I'm with him. But that was like, you know, Strawberry Wine.
Does he know this? Does he know that you listen to this ballad on repeat?
No, he does not know. Like, I mean, he was a stupid guy. He had no idea the level of my commitment.
At that age, we're in power mode of all of our feelings and putting them into mixtapes. And boys are like, I like to drive cars and go to movies.
That was him. And I'm like, we're going to get married someday. You're my soulmate.
I'm so happy you reconnected.
I love when
perfect.
It comes full circle. I feel like I maybe had one mixtape that was like literally Strawberry Wine back to back over and over again with This Kiss.
Oh my God.
So it was like, I'm sad. I'm happy. I'm nostalgic and in love. I'm super excited. I'm sad. I'm happy.
Title it Teenage Bipolar because that's accurate.
Yeah.
That's the most.
I don't have a boyfriend, but I'm feeling feelings. Like, I didn't know where to put them. I'm like, too much.
And then I'm all Dixie Chicks like, yeah, let's bury somebody. Like, men are scum. They're great. They're scum.
Hi.
Oh my God.
See, I feel like 90s country was so boss and I fell in love with it after fighting country for years and years.
See, you know what I remembered is the stupid thing that we get in the mail. Like, if you want to join the record club and you click and you 12 free records, and I probably still owe like $34 for all these free records.
Seriously.
The Columbia House.
We signed up under every name under the sun until my dad was like, can you stop? Because my address is in the system like 17 times.
Both of us did it so much. Yeah. I would come home from college. My dad's like, you have another 49 CDs sitting on the porch. I'm like, sweet. One of them is Fatboy Slim. That's the only one I cared about. But I had to sign up for, you know, 50 some odd CDs to get that one for a penny.
Man.
Yeah. Maybe we all have outstanding debts to this company.
Guaranteed. Still have all those CDs and I'll never give them up. I'll schlep them to every house I live at till I die. And I don't have a CD player in my home.
No, me neither.
It'd be fun to dress up like 90s fashion and have a CD swap.
What a party that would be. A gain entry with one CD.
And then we play
them.
You
can swap as many times as you want to. You just keep trading through the night, meeting new people. Touching something they've touched. What a weird after pandemic
after
world.
Pandemic. Where was this?
You touched something?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Where'd you find? Speaking of collections of mountains of CDs,
ooh.
Accidental segue, I'm into it. Did you have any collections as a kid?
Collections.
Covet anything?
I really love pens and office supplies. And my kids have the same thing going on. So I could go to a Staples and I want all the pens that are cool and gel and glitter. Mm-hmm. Back then, it's different now. I collect pillows on my couch. I don't know.
I'm sitting on Shannon's mom den couch, and I there's like pillows cascading up and around me.
I have extra pillows too, so that I could swap them out for seasons.
Yeah. This one's really soft. She also makes some old shirts.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Old band shirts or our dad's shirts before he passed away. Mm-hmm. We collect them as pillows.
T-shirt pillows.
Yeah, so we have T-shirt pillows everywhere.
Oh, that's pretty rad. Cool. That's
some
really
dad
cool.
flannels. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. That is cool.
Pens? That's a good one, though. Oh, my God. We used to have so many pens. The gel glide ones that had, like, glittery ones.
Oh, yeah.
I got this pen organizer. I was like, yes, now I can put all the pens in their own little clear drawers, and I can see what pens they are from the front. So, like, Sharpies, thin tip, big tip, metallic.
It looks like an art store in there, doesn't it?
Do you use your pens, Melissa? Do you just, like, covet them?
I love them, and I love the display of them. I love what you're sharing about clear acrylic drawers of pens. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing's more satisfying than seeing a rainbow of art supplies and acrylic
so
boxes.
True.
Everything lined up like your own little Michaels.
It is.
I love a good craft store. Like, even if I don't need anything, I just like to go in there and smell the
yeah. know what I don't like lately is that Farmhouse has taken over Michael's. Like,
oh.
Can we just stop with Farmhouse for a moment?
I think there needs to be like brand new launched craft store.
That's not
the best of everything. Like a mix of Blick, like some high end shit.
I love me some Blick. Stuff.
Yeah. But then like you have to be like cool to get in. I'm sick of little white haired ladies giving me stink eye when I walk past the
Just needs to be an only yarn store and then an actual
There
art.
Is there's one called Yarn Barn.
Jesus Christ. Of course there is. Yarn Barn for real. Wow. Sorry to all my crochet homies. You know I like what you make, but I don't do yarn.
And why don't they just give you an automatic 40% coupon instead of making you cut it?
So true. Or I hold up the line like a real monster and I'm like, I know I've got one because you guys send me 56 of them. So like, pretty sure it's either
my phone.
It's either yesterday's coupon or today's coupon, which is a better coupon.
But I know there's a 40% coupon in here.
We were talking about classic movie stars the other day and I was trying to remember this gal's name and I was like, it's Joan something. So I typed in like Joan and then waited for an autofill and it was like Joanne's. And Joanne's then I tried to type something else and I said, did you mean Joanne's? And I was like,
I guess I did.
So I just put down my phone and I went shopping.
The art store down the street when I lived in downtown Portland was like my place to go, just go browse and nobody gave me shit. It was just like the nice place to go. It always smells so good.
And you wouldn't buy a $20 pen?
Not back then. Now I will. I'll go buy dumb.
Yeah, what did I ask
shit.
for my birthday last year?
Calligraphy pens?
Yeah, I got calligraphy stuff because I was like, I'm going to get really into calligraphy again. I tried it once in high school and I've used it like 3 times. I'm not really great at this, but I love pens.
Maybe we need another party where people just bring their false starts of whatever art task they were going to attempt to be good at in quarantine and they stopped and they hate it now. We could just trade projects with each other. Mine's yarn. Sorry. Everybody gets yarn.
Well, I just read this thing about like creating and DIY projects and home renovations. There's a theory for your creativity. And in the beginning, it's a concept. So it's like clean and new and perfect. Mm-hmm. But the diagram is shaped like a U. Mm. And then the bottom of the U is the part where you hate it now. It sort of looks gross. It's really hard. You're in the thick of it.
Oh.
And it's just like too much to visualize now the outcome. It's like gotten that dirty point. Like you got to make a mess before it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And then the top of the U on the other side is your perfected product because it's the top is it's good, the bottom is bad, and it gets good, then bad, then good again.
How many people stop in the bottom?
I thought about it and I was like, how many bottom of the U projects do I probably have just like sitting in little piles everywhere?
You're working on a house you just moved into, right? You're doing lots of renovations and things. Is any of this hitting home for you?
Oh, it is. So I actually love flipping real estate. So I'm a real estate investor and that's something I do is just remodel.
You flip out?
Yeah, I flip houses.
Nice.
And I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do, but I've learned so much. So when you're talking about the bottom of the U, I remember, okay. I mean, it's a little bit of an artist's vision. When you see a house, you see the diamond in the rough, you know you're going to make it into this beautiful home. So I had this one house, I'll call it Miller Street House, that I bought. And I bought it for $10,000.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
It was a cute little cookie cutter, like Lego-y type of house. So it was just a basic, you know, when you draw a house, it's just a square with a triangle.
I just pictured 2 big windows in the front, the little porch looks like a normal cartoon house.
2 big windows, a door and a porch and a roof. Yeah, that was Miller House. And so I bought this house, I put a renter in it and
Lego guy. It was just a little guy she put in there.
Little Lego guy. And then painted it, made it beautiful. And I put the renter in and then I got a call because the basement's filled with shit.
Oh, like literal?
Literal.
Oh,
shit.
No.
So,
did you not go in the basement?
I did go in the basement. The issue was, so I've never had a Roto-Rooter issue in any of my rental properties ever. Ooh. So what happened is like the woman even never even went in the basement. So this shit was sitting there for weeks. And then I get a phone call saying, the house smells rancid. And then she goes down in the basement and sees that there's like a foot of shit water in the
basement. Oh my God.
So I call Roto-Rooter and it's like thousands of dollars and they clear it up and it's the sewer water that's coming up.
It's a backwater drain in the basement, isn't it?
Oh God.
Yeah, it's coming up. And you know what the culprit was is that she was flushing those flushable wet wipes.
Oh no.
They're not so flushable.
They're not. I grew up with regular toilet paper. I did not get wet wipes. And so, I mean, different families grow up with different ways, and that was just part of like being clean. Yes.
Wet wipes were not happening for us. Yeah.
Yeah. So they were fancy and they were flushing those, AKA flushable wipes. That was what the whole basement was filled with, is shit and those flushable wipes.
Oh, God. That was what it was.
But I had a reason for telling the story. It was about the you part.
Was that your you?
That was my you moment.
You were in the thick of it, eh?
I was in the thick of it because I loved renovating houses. I got a good deal. And then that one issue made me want to quit because I'm like, whoa, I would have never saw that coming.
Right.
But I'm glad I worked through it and continued on. And now it's like I own multiple homes, but that was like, I mean, that was a hard moment.
Yeah, it's a great deal, but unforeseen costs. That's right? The thing they always tell you. Yes. Always have something for unforeseen costs.
I mean, I think I paid almost the price of the house for that Roto-Rooter.
Holy shit. Yeah. Literally, that's crazy.
That's actual holy shit. That's crazy. Yeah. You post a lot in your stories on Instagram about home things. All the things.
All the things.
I'm just sitting there and all like, oh yeah, she's just, you know, casually doing another enormous project. Yeah, you get that, girl. You take that floor out. You do that weird thing. I love it. I love watching all your renovation stuff.
That's Steve is doing it.
But you're the one telling the story, so I didn't know any different. Yeah. So that's fine.
I get the credit if I tell the story. I'll tell Steve that. You put that wall up, babe, but guess what? That wall is mine.
Like, you did a great job with the thing I'm not telling anybody you did. All right. I like it.
See, no, you just have support, and that's fantastic. It's almost summertime.
It's summer.
It is summer.
Solstice done happened.
Oh, yeah. Solstice happened.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking summertime. My favorite thing as a kid about summer was blockbuster movies.
Oh, geez.
Melissa, did you go to the movies often as a kid? Did you look forward to movies?
Okay, so I have a weird story. So I told you about Steve, right? So My dad and his dad went to high school together in Yakima, Washington. That's actually how I know Steve, is that my horrible serial killer dad had this amazing friend in his dad. His dad couldn't be further from my dad. Like, he's the most genuine, a saint. He and his wife are the most generous people on this earth. So to know him, to know Steve's dad, is to know basically like a priest or something. You know, it's something very genuine.
That's so cute.
Couldn't be more opposite than my dad. But apparently they were friends in high school. So that's how I met Steve, as we grew up together, because our dads knew each other. In the summertime, we would go to the Oregon coast and we would go and work on his family's beach house, or I call it the beach house. It's like a little bit away from the beach, but closer than I've ever been.
If you can smell salty air, it's a beach house.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I would say that too. So ironically, this is so weird. So I had a crush on Steve when I first saw him again when we were teenagers. I remember just seeing him, and he was like, do you remember Stussy and those?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So yes. He had like these soccer Stussy shorts on, and like he was tan with a bowl cut, and like my 13-year-old self was like, hot. That's hot.
I'm just picturing a shiny ass bowl cut, like shaking out.
Like Jonathan Brandis hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
So we pull up to his house and he comes out and he's tan with these like Stussy shorts. And we end up going to, you know, the pizza parlor and flirting. And then the next day, my dad takes us to this historic theater in downtown Astoria, Oregon.
Aww.
And guess what movie we're freaking watching? So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That movie is great and awful for that occasion.
And all I can remember is that time period, is that I was sitting next to Steve and I'm like, oh, I hope he touches my hand. I hope he holds my hand. But all this while, I had no idea about my dad's double life.
Oh,
and then
Jesus.
Taking me for a married axe murderer. Like, how ironic and weird is that? So Steve and I... So our summers together as teenagers were our dads working together on rehabbing his parents' house. So my dad welded the spiral staircase to his home. And I think our love of home improvement is really rooted. from way back then, I guess.
You guys did it together then, in a way.
Yeah. We watched our dads do it then.
We grew up with our dad and our uncle flipping houses together. Oh, yeah. And he had like
and
a
remodeling
little
really
team.
Expensive houses and stuff too.
Yeah. So, oh, we grew so you up get it. For fancy people. Like, yeah. Yeah. Wood paneling turned into plastered walls.
Oh, he made arched doorways. Everything I'll was never arched. Forget that.
I was like,
so good.
Man, this is some fancy shit.
Yeah. So you get it.
If only they're in the midst of his best friend or quote unquote uncles, if any of those uncles had like a hot boy our age that worked with us, I'm pretty sure we would have just been like Rochambeauing for his love and attention.
The closest we had was a hot neighbor boy that was the nephew that would come to visit in the summertime. He looked like one of the Jeremy London brothers. Every time he came over, I like polished myself up just a little bit more during the summertime. Try not to look like a total dirt clod, you know.
The whole like full circle.
Oh, I thing. Love that.
Like he was family before he was family.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a cool feeling to come back to.
It was bizarre to start dating. And sometimes, like, it surprises me when we'll go for a walk or we're talking and he'll relay a story from when we were kids. I'm like, oh my gosh, we've known each other our entire lives. I forget that, you know?
It's not only you guys had similar childhood, you had the childhood together.
Yeah. I mean, he remembers my dollhouse. Like, that's cool.
Oh my God. Yeah. He so had a crush on you too, obviously, if he remembers all of this. Boys are just dense until they're much older.
Yeah. Well, our falling out happened when, so every summer I would come and see him on the Oregon coast. And then we had this amazing summer when I turned, I think it was 19, and he was going into the military. He invited me to go see him in California. So I booked the airfare and went to go see him, and he had a girlfriend.
Mm.
I know it wasn't the right timing. So no. Like he had a girlfriend and I was like, I'm not gonna, you know, like obviously this isn't working out. So I went back home to Spokane, and that's when I ended up meeting my husband of 18 years and the father of my two kids, and we got married and had the kids. Steve ended up getting married and having three kids, and we just went our own ways. And honestly, looking back, I think I needed that relationship with my former husband.
Mm-hmm.
I needed that life to really launch me into the woman that I am today. I think that it would be completely different. I wouldn't appreciate the way I do now if we would have ended up together right away.
Exactly.
You're on a trajectory to something, and then if you had gone right to Steve, it might not be this great.
Yeah.
I think it's time for this or that. Are you ready?
I agree. Melissa, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Right. We're going to throw out two options. Mm-hmm. We're going to go back and forth, and you just quickly choose your choice.
Rapid fire.
Yes. Okay, Portland one. Saturday market or the humongous, like, Cinco de Mayo waterfront carnival.
Waterfront.
Travel by plane or travel by train?
Plane.
Go for a swim or go for a hike?
Hike.
Sunny sunshine or sweet, sweet shade?
Sunshine.
Camp out or slumber party?
Slumber party.
Nice. 90s fashion or 2000s Ooh. Fashion?
Ooh. Okay, 90s. Let's do
90s. I agree with that. For the moment, yes.
I miss the 90s. I want everything Me to too. Be Delia's, but I want it to be for us and not for the kids that don't fucking understand it. I don't want to be resentful. I want them to have freedom to dress up, but also I can't help it. I am a little resentful.
Yeah, but at least our American Girl dolls were better than theirs.
Oh my God.
That's true. And our Cabbage Patch dolls were way higher quality.
Oh, they were.
That's very true. They were. They had the real autographs on their butt.
Yeah.
Do you want to do compliments?
I do.
So we have a section of the show where we tell you how amazing you are, and you get to sit there and just be showered with genuine appreciation.
Well, this is cool. I'm just going to use this as my ringtone.
Just ask. Do you have
yes,
your drink?
Please.
You just sit back.
Okay, I'll sit back with my canned wine here.
Nice. Your poise and honesty and just very genuine. Listening to you tell very difficult life stories, I felt not sympathetically attached to you, but I felt like kinship because you talked about problems and things and having like 80s and 90s life that was not... not rich people's life. And I felt like we could have lived down the street from each other with some of the things you described. It's hard to bounce around and it's hard to, you know, not be the richest person in school. And it's having a few siblings and struggles and family stuff. It's rough anyway, but listening to you talk about all of that with just level-headed honesty and charm and class, it's kind of in awe. You're very brave. And I could not wait to sit and talk about stuff that was just weird, silly, shits and giggles, kid stuff, because I feel like you are in the heart of a lot of serious conversations. And after talking to you, I'm like, you know what? I love that you can pivot from being like super professional and serious about very serious topics and talk to people that really love talking to you on that level. And we get the fun barf in the car stories. And I just feel honored. And I'm just so filled with joy that you shared this stuff with us. We definitely could have been like down the street neighbors. I really feel like we're on the same vibe. We're right in the same class
pocket.
We're a childhood. Yeah, we're like an era. I think you're a joy. And I'm just so pleased that you were on our show.
Thank you. I had so much fun. This has been amazing.
I think you're cool and you're smart and creative and driven. I like that you've taken everything in your life and kind of hyper-focused it. If you're passionate about it and you're putting it out and you're revealing parts of yourself, I like that you've kind of taken control of everything and put it out there for people to see in a way that like you're helping people, you're helping yourself. And I'm just in awe of you as a person. And I think it's so great that you talk so openly and like fucking sarcastic. Like you're throwing jokes and jabs at your past in a way where she laughs so heartily, but sometimes in life it's like gotta fucking laugh at just how outlandish and crazy and out of control the world is. But at the end of the day, like all that stuff happened in your life, it revolved around you, it's not your whole story. You were still a fucking kid, you still had crazy crushes, you still got to go to the movie. I find that is the most interesting little building blocks of people. I think you just shine, and I'm so happy that you're an Oregonian. I think you're so cool.
Thank you, ladies. This is so nice.
You're so nice and sassy. You're a little snark. And speaking of all of your endeavors,
yes.
Can you tell us about any projects coming up? Do you have anything you want to tell the people?
I have some secrets.
Are you able to tell secrets?
You know what? I'm going to.
Woohoo! Oh, secrets truly make friends.
I have goosebumps.
Nobody knows this. I'm like, no. So, like, this is the first time I've ever shared it, but I've been working. Do you guys know Gypsy Rose?
Yes.
Okay. So I've been doing prison interviews with Gypsy Rose, and I just saw her in prison again. I've interviewed with her before, but I'm working with her. For those who don't know about Gypsy Rose, her boyfriend, Nick Godege, killed her mother. She was a survivor of Munchausen by proxy. She was held captive in her mother's house. It was a horrific situation. The Act on Hulu is based on her life. She's serving a 10-year sentence in Chillicothe, Missouri for the murder of her mother. Mm-hmm. And I just came back last week from interviewing with her, and we're trying to do a multi-hour documentary following her journey and then of her leaving prison, hopefully in the next year or two, and parole. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It has already been that long.
Yeah.
I'm like sitting here with my jaw on the floor. I've always been fascinated by that story. The Act was, I thought, beautifully acted, but you never know
how it's gonna
how
be
Hollywood
translated.
Is telling things.
Mm-hmm. Trust me when I tell you this, there's some bombshells that are going to come out. So I don't know where it's going to come out yet, because we're in the middle of production. We're starting this journey with her, and it's going to be a multi-year journey. And I'm honored that I get to be a part of this journey with her. Honestly, my relationship with Gypsy started with Dr. Oz. Mm-hmm. She just did the Dr. Phil interview. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. She served, I think, 6 years now. Mm. She's had a lot of hindsight, and there's so many different stories. Did you know her mom practiced witchcraft?
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, there's some stories revolving the witchcraft that are going to come out. And there's also some bombshell interviews that I can't wait for you to hear about her case. If you're not sympathetic to Gypsy, you will be after watching this multi-hour.
I already was. Munchausen by proxy is fucking real. And it's so...
Yeah. My thoughts on the sympathy there. I've heard people say... She's guilty no matter what. Murder is murder. But when you are a caged animal playing this song for someone for years and years and years, and someone's like making you fucking sick and
making you be the doll they need you to be, and you're not your own person. That makes me so
sick. I'm putting a feeding tube, making you go to surgeries, and shaving your hair, shaving your pubic hair,
doctoring your files so that you're not the age you are.
She did not know her age. Like, when she was arrested, she thought she was still 19. I mean, it's insane. So when I do a multi-hour documentary, I do a lot of research and I dig in to see what's already been exposed about the case. Because I never want to be redundant.
Right.
Why do a documentary if the same stuff is already out there?
Totally.
So I started to do some digging. I watched the 2020. I watched the Dr. Phil. I watched Gypsy's Revenge. I watched Killer Couples, which was fascinating because Killer Couples is the one where Nick Godige does the interview.
They spun that real interesting. I saw that one too.
You do? Okay.
It can be a lot of details. So you did your research and like went down the rabbit hole of everything you could find. Absolutely. There's missing pieces here.
Yeah, exactly. So what kind of stood out to me was there's something missing about 2011 with her first escape with a friend named Dan, and there's so much more there. My instincts were right, so I'll be sharing all of that soon. Ooh. I will say that, you know, Gypsy is a complicated woman. She was raised by a master manipulator, but she definitely is a victim, regardless of obviously the murder that happened with her mom. She was held hostage. And this was, to me, an act of self-defense. And hopefully by the end of this documentary, everybody will see that as well. Every Tuesday, I talk to Gypsy from prison. We record her calls. And I can't wait to share because there's so much about her that's interesting. And she's a true survivor.
Yeah.
I think you're going to like really like who she is as a person and how she's evolved. And I tell Gypsy all the time, I'm like, you were raised without boundaries. Like your mom violated every boundary that you could possibly have and controlled you.
So do you feel like her being incarcerated is the first moment in her life where she's getting to stop and go, who do I want to be? I don't have a person puppeteering who I am anymore and manipulating that.
Okay. It's interesting that you said that. So when I interviewed with her, I started sobbing because I asked her, Gypsy, what's the best day of your life? And she said, the best day of my life was my first day in prison. And she said, I was sitting on the picnic table with my new inmate friend, smoking a cigarette, listening to a Walkman, and the sun was shining on my face.
It was the first time she felt free is the first day she was incarcerated. Yes.
That's so that poor girl.
So that is what I can share. And I'm very, very excited for people to meet the Gypsy that I know. And I think my passion, you know, coming from this life of true crime is that it's really made me understand different dynamics of trauma and helped me understand why people do the things that they do without judgment. And I just gravitated towards Gypsy. And I'm glad that we formed this friendship where she trusts me to tell her story.
You coming from a place of understanding that truly only survivors of these complicated situations would recognize.
Yeah. And I know the person from the trauma.
Yeah.
Exactly. You do sound like you're more on the other side of some of the feelings you were working through, even in the Happy Face podcast.
Yeah, with the Happy Face podcast, it's something that Gypsy and I both share is this guilt. And I mean, her guilt and my guilt are two different situations, but I understand, you know, walking around like you're an apology letter to the world. And I understand what that feels like and that burden and feeling like you can never satisfy the public's demand for justice with your life. I started to finally realize that I'm never going to satisfy the public with this around in sorrow apology letter. And I realized that it's not my burden to share.
It's not your apology to make.
It's not my apology to make. It's my dad's. And he'll never make that apology. And I deserve to be happy. And she deserves to be happy and free. She was a victim for years and years and years. And I hope people will understand the gravity of what she endured. So I hope that by doing her story, people will understand and finally have the answers. Not that they deserve it, but that she's graciously and generously giving those answers to the public.
Yes.
Yeah. There's two simple facts. If you've never been in an abusive situation, it's hard for somebody to understand what that feels like. And then also, you can be a victim and a killer. Those are two things that are not mutually exclusive or independent of one another.
I'm glad that you said that. I'm really glad that you said that.
It's just really true.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah,
oh, you also, I think there's been some news on
Murmur of a release date.
Whispers.
So I've partnered with your friend, Sarah, and the the team at Small Town Murder.
Such good
Yeah,
humans.
They're really I fabulous. I met with them and then they started a network.
Upside Down Digital. Yeah, their media network. So exciting.
So I partnered with them and because like what happened when I came out with my story is that I got contacted by hundreds of people around the world who are related or lived or survived a killer. And yeah, hundreds. So I started to explore this and I wanted to start to bring their stories to the forefront and have them share their experiences of either A, being an innocent bystander that was a friend that got sucked into a media circus like Chad Perkins, who was the friend of Jodi Arias and Travis Alexander.
Yes.
And so he came forward and told his story about the couple and what he witnessed and how his life was forever changed, how he was a staunch Mormon. And then now he lives in open marriage, open relationships. Like it's a different
night and day.
There's so much to share with like that case in general. Their lives are forever changed by a murder or being connected to a murderer. And so I wanted to explore that. And thankfully, the folks at Small Town Murder saw my vision and they gave me this platform to do a weekly podcast. Every Friday, we drop a new episode where we'll be discovering and hearing from people who lived with a killer or survived a killer or knew a killer intimately in any way that they could share how their life was changed. And then Dr. Laura Petler, who's my good friend, she is an amazing investigator and she's going to bring the case files, the homicide case files and actually open them up. And so we get access that nobody else gets into the autopsy, into the forensics. So she's going to dive into the forensics of it.
That's amazing.
We call it Swallow the Darkness. And then my boyfriend makes fun of me, like, swallow. So, like, folks, if you like listen to
I love that you have the personal side on your side and then the science side where she's just unfolding like some sheer facts on the table.
Yeah, well, that's what we have. We have a perfect yin yang of that. And then we're actually starting in a really unique space that I never thought I would do, which is talking to my dad.
Well,
fuck.
Yeah. Right. I have so many questions.
I'm going to play something for you, ladies.
Oh, my gosh.
You're just giving us all these gifts.
You from
Kate Jesperson.
An adult in custody at Oregon State Penitentiary. To accept this call, press 5. To refuse this call, hang up now. To block this call and all future calls, press 9.
I have full fucking body goosebumps right now. Wow, the AC is not that strong. This is emotional. This
so,
is crazy.
Like you said, you ladies told me that you witnessed my transformation in Happy Face. Well, it really did transform me to the place where I felt secure and safe for the first time in my life to finally face my dad. And the title is Life After Happy Face.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Look how fucking strong you
are. I want to fucking hug
you. Seriously.
Like, I can't wait for you to hear. I'll share some things that I never would have thought of. And it was good. It was really good. What I can share. It was really good.
I'm so looking forward to literally everything you're doing. You're doing big strides. None of these are baby steps.
When does it drop? When can people tune in to Life After Happy Face?
July 9th. So the trailer is up now. If you want to listen to like a little preview of the upcoming episodes.
July 9th, right?
Yeah, Friday. And then every Friday, we're going to have a new episode. And I can't even tell you because I've worked in true crime for over a decade now. I've interviewed family members of serial killers, survivors, women who escape serial killers. And they're all coming on the podcast to share their stories. And Dr. Laura is going to break down the forensics. So I hope that this will be a really amazing place for survivors to share the story.
This is going to be
amazing. I really think it's going to be good. I think people will appreciate their stories in a podcast forum.
Do you know why this is going to be amazing?
Why?
Like in 5 years when you look back, you'll be like, that bitch was right. Because You are part of it and you are leading this. These are your peers. You are not just some rando reporter asking them a question. They will speak to you differently than anyone else talking to them. This is special.
You've dug through the darkness.
You've walked through the same fire. This is a special podcast. I cannot wait.
Oh, thank you.
You came up and out of this. You found a platform and now you're putting your hand down at the top, like, guys, hey, it's okay up here. Let's fucking dig in.
Oh, so, that's so
And I have
true.
The best partners. I have your girlfriend, Sarah.
Oh my God. She is literal fire. I love her.
Driven, snarky, dark.
Oh, I love it.
She's so fun. If people want to look for you online.
Oh, yeah.
Want to follow you on social media.
I made it easy. It's Instagram, Life After Happy Face Pod is our new podcast. And I share all the details on that. And then my regular Instagram is Life After Happy Face. And I'll probably change it back to Melissa Moore, but you know, it's Instagram.
Yeah.
So I've been just working on those two forums. I'm not really on Facebook, so don't look for me on Facebook because I don't really interact on Facebook.
Gosh. Well, thank you so much for taking time out in this hot motherfucking heat wave. To giggle and hang out with us. And we appreciate it so much.
Let's do this again sometime. It was actually like,
we'd love to see you sometime.
Yeah.
Because how fucking fun that
would be amazing. Yay. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Seriously.
I appreciate you. And I just think you are just a rocking ass bitch.
Thank you. I think you ladies are too. This was fun. Let's meet in person. Let's have some drinks. Let's like really have some fun.
Very seriously.
Well, you stay cool with those one pane motherfucking windows. Yes, and you enjoy your awesome house and your awesome Steve.
Thank you.
This made my whole day.
Good. Seriously. It made my day too. This was fun. This was really fun. Like, I actually got to have fun in the interview. Like, you guys didn't ask all the dreary, horrible questions that I always had to answer over and over
again. Oh, fuck that.
We care about you as a person and all the weird shit we all went through as kids. We all experienced the same weird shit.
Yeah, we did. We really did.
That's what bonds us and makes us human.
Everyone begged for dollars from the ice cream man. It's real life.
Get them quarters. All right. Well, you have a lovely rest of your week.
Yes.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, ladies. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that episode was so good.
Cathartic as fuck.
We feel so good. We hope you feel so good.
I'm so energized.
Right? And if you are feeling energized and you want to hop on the internets, go ahead and give a little rate and review and support us so hard with your hearts and your thumbs anywhere you can rate a podcast.
You could put that energy into some good vibes for us.
I'd love that.
Where could they find us if they were like looking around the social medias?
We are on Instagram and Twitter under No, You Are That.
Yeah, don't forget the no. And then I think we're on the Facebooks.
We are. We have a Facebook group and we have a Facebook page. So you can either participate or just follow along by liking our page.
Just be aware. Give us thumbs up. Yeah. Do what you do. I like it. And if you want to give us some monies, like even like a buck a month, which is rad because it fuels this little show.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Patreon at, God, what is it again?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Patreon.com/you are that.
God, you're so good.
Thanks. You yeah. are that.
Oh!
We snap. Also have got it. A merch store if you want to participate by putting things on your bods or around your home. Mm-hmm. Not everything is super logo-y. There's stuff that fits all kinds of personalities, and we think you're going to enjoy it.
It's true.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Pass it on to a friend if you're feeling charming.
Hell
and
yeah.
go heartily stalk our guest.
Please do.
So I'm on TikTok. Here's my vision of what I want to do for a TikTok video. I want to be like running and then you get the POV of listening to a true crime podcast, but what you really hear is me farting. Because I fart when I run. So.
Oh my God. You...
Five miles past 8 yes. at 9, there was a severed leg.
Everything's very serious.